I know they've been having a lot of fun just trying to get things together and practicing, and so we really appreciate you leading our worship this morning. Well, morning, folks. It's good to be sharing God's word with you today. If you're listening online, I pray that you will have a sense of God's love surrounding you, and you will hear whatever God may have to share with you this morning. So try this quick quiz: names of Australian ambassadors or high commissioners. This will be easy. Here we go. Australia's ambassador or high commissioner to China is one of our major trading countries, Jan Adams. To India, it is Patrick Suckling. To Indonesia, it is Greg Moriarty. Sounds more like a TV show, don't it? Greg Moriarty. You know this one. All right. To the United Kingdom, it is Alexander Downer. To the United States, it is Joe Hockey. To the United Nations, it is Gillian Bird, I think. It's okay. I had to look them up too. Try this quick quiz. What does the word plenipotentiary mean? Plenipotentiary. We'll come to it later. Got the word potent in it. So it might have something to do with power. We'll get to that a little later. Here at Church in the Marketplace, we're preparing ourselves for Alpha. We want some people we know, and we want people we don't know yet to know Jesus and how he connects with life's big questions. So for a couple of weeks, we're thinking about what it means to follow Jesus, to commit to Jesus. And to do that, we're looking at some words that describe what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Last week, we looked at the word disciple. And if you missed that message, I'd encourage you to get online and listen to what Jesus says it means to be his disciple. Too fast. Okay. Today, I want us to look at the word ambassador. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, we are Christ's ambassadors. We are. So what's an ambassador? Well, an ambassador is a representative sent out on a mission to build relationships. That's one definition. There are political ambassadors. There are economic and business ambassadors. There are cultural ambassadors. There are goodwill ambassadors. And the Bible says there are spiritual ambassadors. And you and me, we are Christ's ambassadors. If we're a follower of Jesus, the Bible says we're an ambassador for him in the world. So this morning I want us to look at the role of an ambassador, what are the responsibilities of an ambassador, what are the rewards of being an ambassador for Jesus. As we prepare to do that, let's pray. Lord, sometimes you get serious with us. Jesus says, come and be my disciple. Jesus says, you are my ambassador. And that's heavy stuff. So, Lord, help us today as we look at what your word says about being an ambassador for Jesus in the world around us. And then help us as we leave this place to actually put that into practice, to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, what's the role of an ambassador? The first role of Jesus' ambassador is to represent Jesus in the world. That's the first role. And to understand that, we need to know the difference between our career and our calling. We need to know the difference between a job and a vocation. The word vocation comes from the Latin word voce, which is the word for voice. Here's all the Latin students. I mightn't have said that the right way, but anyway. We get the word vocal from it. Our vocation is our calling in life. A man was asked, what do you do? He said, I'm actually an ambassador for Jesus disguised as a businessman. I'm an ambassador for Jesus disguised as a businessman. So what's your disguise? You're an ambassador for Jesus. If we're a follower of Jesus, that's our calling, that's our vocation. But we may be disguised as a mum, a student, a nurse, a truck driver, a mechanic, a real estate agent, a salesperson, a teacher, a retiree, whatever. And that's our job, that's our career, but it's not our calling, it's not our vocation. In the first chapter of 2 Timothy, it says, God saved us and called us to be his own people, not because of what we've done, but because of his own grace and purpose. It says he called us. And that's a fascinating word in the New Testament. The Bible says in Romans 1, we're called to be his people. John 15, we're called to be God's friends. 1 Corinthians, we're called to be holy. 2 Corinthians, we're called to speak for Christ. Galatians 5, we're called to serve one another. Colossians 3, we're called to live in peace. Romans 8, we're called to become like Jesus for God's purpose. 1 Peter 2, we're called to suffer for him. 1 Peter 3, we're called to bless those who curse us. 1 Timothy 1, we're called to eternal life. 2 Thessalonians 2, we're called to share his glory. Huh. That's our calling. Not our career, not our job, but it's our calling. If we're a follower of Jesus, we're a representative of Jesus, we're an ambassador. And if we're an ambassador, it's going to have an effect on the way we live. Philippians 1:27 says, be sure that you live in a way that brings honor to the good news of Christ. See, if we're going to be an ambassador, a representative of Jesus, we've got to live like it. We've got to back it up with our lives. We need to remember that we represent Jesus. And we need to ask ourselves every day, when we get up to face the day, who do we represent? If you're going out to play soccer, remember who you represent. When you go to the shops or the theatre or you're sitting in a line of traffic, remember who we represent. When we're frustrated and we want to say something really serious to somebody else, remember who we represent. If we name the name of Jesus, the Bible says we're an ambassador of Jesus. Ephesians 4:1 says, live a life worthy of the calling you have received. And we've been called to represent Jesus in the world. It isn't just for ministers and pastors. It's for every believer. The second thing we can say is we've been given a mission. It's the second thing an ambassador does. Ambassadors are sent on diplomatic missions. In fact, the embassies where ambassadors work are often called permanent missions. John 17 says, in the same way that you, Father, gave me a mission in the world, I give them a mission in the world. Did you know that you've got a mission? The moment we step across the line spiritually and we become a follower of Jesus, God has a mission for our lives, and that's to be Jesus' ambassador. And when we're on a mission, that's all that matters. We're not there to see the scenery, and we're not there to take pictures, and we're not there to try the local cuisine. As an ambassador, we're there on a mission. Of all the missions in the world, the most important mission of all is helping people get to know God through Jesus. In Acts 20, Paul says, I don't care about my own life. The most important thing is that I complete my mission, the work that the Lord Jesus gave me to tell other people the good news about God's grace. Paul says, my job is to complete my mission. At the end of his life, Paul said, I've finished the race. I've completed my mission. He said, I did what God told me to do. Will you be able to say that? Will I? The Bible says not only are we given the responsibility of representing Jesus, not only do we have a mission, but, here we go, we have authority to speak. What's that too? We have authority to speak. Now, sometimes we don't feel very confident talking about God to other people. Maybe we feel a little insecure, a little timid, a little hesitant. Who am I to talk to somebody about Jesus? I don't know what to say. I don't know how to say it. I'm not a professional witness. And God says, no, you are authorized. He says, whenever I ask you to do something and I ask you to represent me and I ask you to have a mission and I ask you to speak for me, I'm going to empower you to do it. Matthew 28 says, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth, therefore go to all people everywhere and make them my disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I've commanded you, and I will be with you always. Folks, that's our mission in life. The Great Commission wasn't given to pastors and ministers, wasn't given to missionaries, wasn't given to priests or elders or professional evangelists. The Great Commission Jesus gave to every one of his followers. It's your commission. He said, I have all the authority and I'm authorizing you to speak. there's the word plenipotentiary. Plenipotentiary is actually a diplomatic term. It's a Latin phrase that literally means full power. A plenipotentiary is somebody who's authorized to represent a government without having to come back and check with anybody else. A plenipotentiary is someone who can negotiate on behalf of a country without having to say, I'll get back to you. That's a cool thing. Because the Bible says, you're authorized as a minister of Jesus. You are. Every Christian is an authorized minister of Jesus. You're not a pastor, you're not a priest, you're not a full-time Christian worker, but every believer is a minister. And Jesus says, you're authorized to speak on my behalf. You don't have to go and check with anybody else. You can talk in my name to other people. You represent me. I've given you a mission, and I'm giving you the authority to speak. And there's another thing we need to remember as an ambassador. We serve in a foreign culture. You might not have thought about this, but if you're a believer, a follower of Jesus, your home is not here on earth. Your home's in heaven. God didn't make you to spend eternity on earth. God created you to be part of his family, and that family is going to be part of eternity. And as ambassadors, we're simply here on a short-term assignment. Where does an ambassador live? In their home country or in a foreign country? They live in the foreign country. So, for instance, Australia's ambassador to China lives in China. America's ambassador to Australia lives in Australia. Ambassadors don't live in their home country. They live in somebody else's country. In fact, they often live in enemy territory. Jesus says that's what we are as an ambassador for Jesus. This world isn't our home. We're passing through. We were made for eternity. We were made for heaven. 1 Peter 1:17 says, if you call God your Father, live your time as temporary residents on earth. Nobody moves to a country and then lives their entire life if they're an ambassador. Lives their entire life there. They're on a short-term assignment and they're in a foreign culture and they're not really in their homeland. Jesus was saying here, don't get too comfortable living in this world. You're just an ambassador. Don't think that this life here on earth is all there is. Don't get sucked into the myth that all there is the here and now. Don't forget your role. Our role isn't to create a little cushy place and make our lives as comfortable as possible. Our role is an ambassador. Our role is to represent Jesus, to fulfill our mission, and to speak in his name with his authority. And we're doing it in a foreign territory. Philippians 3:19 says, all the other people think about is life here on earth. They're not thinking about eternity. They're not thinking about what's after this. They're just thinking about here and now. Get all you can. The one with the most toys wins. No. It says we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives. Life is a temporary assignment. We're in a foreign culture. Eternal life is our ultimate home. So what are we supposed to do while we're here? Have you ever thought about that? After we become a believer, after we accept God's salvation, once our sins are forgiven and we know we're going to heaven, why doesn't God just take us right then? Because ultimately we're going to heaven anyway. So why should God leave us here with all the sin and suffering and sorrow and sadness and depression and despair and discouragement and problems and pressures and difficulties and trials and tribulations and tears? Why? Once we're in, why does God leave us here on earth? To be an ambassador. That's why. There are only two things we can't do in heaven. We can have fun in heaven. We can sleep in heaven, we can rest in heaven, we can fellowship with other people in heaven, we can pray, we can worship, we can be creative in heaven, we can eat in heaven. There are only two things we can't do in heaven. One of them is sin, because there's no sin in God and there's no sin in heaven in his eternal life that he gives us. And the other is to be an ambassador to unbelievers, tell people who don't know the good news. Sin and share our faith. Which of those two do you think God leaves us here to do on earth? Why does he leave us here on earth? He leaves us here to tell somebody else. That's the role of an ambassador. I'm a representative, I'm authorized to speak, and I've been given a mission to tell the good news to other people, and I've got to remember this is just a temporary assignment, and this isn't ultimately my home. So what are our responsibilities? Well, these are the things God wants us to do as an ambassador. First thing is to be an example. The first thing God wants us to do is help other people know what God's like by being an example of his character. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, kindness, meekness, self-control. 1 Peter 2 says, people who do not believe are living all around you and might say you're doing wrong, so live such good lives that they'll see the good things you do and will give glory to God. The first job of an ambassador, whether it's to a country or for Jesus, is set a good example. What if we lived our lives like that? If we realize that we're always on as an ambassador for Jesus, that no matter where we went, we're the only Christian some people will ever know. To the people around us, we're the only Bible they'll ever read. We're a living Bible. We either make God look good or we make God look bad. And there's plenty of Christians who make God look bad. They say silly things and they're dogmatic and they're mean and they're cranky and it's not good. There are two reasons why people don't know God, somebody said. One of them is they've never met a Christian. The other reason is they have. And they say, if that's what a follower of Jesus is, no thanks, God. So we need to realize that our life is to be an example in everything we do and say. I'm an ambassador and so are you, and people are watching us all the time. So we set an example. Is he genuinely kind to everybody? Is she friendly? Are they compassionate? Is he merciful? Is she polite? Does Peter take into consideration other people's feelings? I'm an ambassador of Jesus Christ. What does our life say about God to the people around us? We may not like it, but if we claim to be a follower of Jesus, we're an ambassador. So the first thing is we set an example. The second thing is we share the message. We've got a message that God's given us, and he wants us to share it with people. It's interesting that in politics and in diplomacy, ambassadors are often used in history to end wars. Ambassadors are sent to negotiate the peace. Ambassadors are sent to sign the treaty. Ambassadors are sent to bring reconciliation between warring entities and conflicting groups. It's not an accident that God chose that term to refer to us. We're to help people make peace with God. We're to help people reconcile their relationship with God. God's very clear about the message he expects us to share. 2 Corinthians says, anyone who is joined to Christ becomes a new person, the old is gone. First part of the message, your past is wiped out, forgiven, forgotten. You get a clear conscience. You get a chance to start over. Most of the world is hungry for that. They want to know, how do I get rid of guilt? How do I get rid of shame? How do I get rid of regret? How do I get a fresh start in life? The Bible calls it being born again. All this is done by God, who through Christ changed us from enemies into his friends and gave us the task of making others his friends too. That's our task as ambassadors, to make others friends of God. Our message, it says, is that God was making all human beings his friends through Christ. God did not keep an account of their sins, and he's given us the message which tells us how to make them his friends. Let me show you a couple of things. The first part of our message is this. Jesus offers everybody new life. Anybody joined to Christ becomes a new person. It's the message of regeneration, it's called. The message of a new birth, the message of a brand new life. Regeneration. Have you ever wanted to start something over again? Ever got halfway through painting a room and said, no, I want to start over? Got halfway up climbing a mountain, wish I could start over. Halfway through life, the Bible calls it being born again. All this was done by God, who through Christ changed us from enemies into his friends and gave us the task of making others friends. The second part of our message is Jesus ends our war with God. Did you know that we're at war with God until we make peace with God? The war is in the conflict in our soul about who's going to be God, me or God. The Bible says every human being in all of humanity is in rebellion against God because we want to be God. We don't want God running our lives. We want to run our own lives. We want to make our own decisions. We don't want God telling us what to do. That conflict causes all the problems and stresses in our lives. Unknown stress, subconscious pressure, the guilt, the fear, the anxiety. All of those different things come from being out of whack with God. So he says we're at war with God, but God says God wants us to be friends. That's the message of reconciliation. Then he says a third thing, all of our war crimes have been forgiven. God just wipes them out. That's salvation. How does God do it? He does it through Jesus, and he does it out of love. God was in Christ making peace between the world and himself. In Christ, God did not hold the world guilty of its sins, and he gave us this message of peace. God has said, we have a message of reconciliation. We have a message of peace. We have a message that says the warring parties are being brought back together. So we have been sent to speak for Christ. It is as if God is calling to you through us. We speak for Christ, it says. When we beg you to be at peace with God, Christ had no sin, but God made him to become sin so that in Christ we can become right with God, and we are workers together with God. That's who you are, workers together with God. We've been sent to speak for Christ. That's the second thing we do as ambassadors. We share the message. And here's the amazing thing, folks. When it comes to offering the deal of salvation, you're authorized to close the deal. You don't have to go to the manager in the back office. You can say to anybody, I'm an ambassador of Jesus and I'm a plenipotentiary, which means I'm authorized to make the offer in Jesus' name, and I don't have to go check with anybody else. Here's the offer. All the sins of your past can be forgiven. You get a purpose for living. You get a home in heaven. God promises to take care of your life here on earth until he takes you home to heaven. If you put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ, that's the deal. You don't have to go and check with anybody else. You're the ambassador. God's authorized every one of his children to speak on his behalf and to make that deal. The third responsibility of an ambassador, I set an example, I share the message. The third one is that we show love. Why must an ambassador of Jesus show love to everybody? Because God is love. And if we show anything but love to other people, we're not representing Jesus. How do we show love to the people in our lives? The people we work with, our neighbours, our family, our co-workers, our enemies, our boss. How do we do it? By using our lives to meet the needs of others. Every time you give practical help to somebody else, you serve others, you're ministering to them, you're showing love to meet their needs. That's what an ambassador does. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 says, we loved you so much that we gave you not only the good news, the message, but our own lives as well. If we're going to be an ambassador, some of the time we've got to get out of the embassy. Using our lives to meet others' needs. By giving respect to everyone, the second one, as an ambassador of Jesus, we're not allowed to be disrespectful to anybody. Uh-oh. Why? Because God values every person. Doesn't matter who they are, what they've done, who they've done it to, how long they've done it, they have the dignity of being created in the image of God. Ambassadors don't speak to their own country. They speak to everybody else who's not in their country. They even speak to their enemies. We're to share the message with love and kindness. In fact, here's what the Bible says. Be ready at all times to answer anyone who asks you to explain the hope you have in you, but do it with gentleness and respect. You and I are called to be gentle with everybody and respect everybody. Doesn't matter what they say to me. Doesn't matter how much they lie about me. Doesn't matter how much they accuse me. I'm forbidden to hate anybody. I'm forbidden to retaliate. I'm forbidden to attack back. Why? Because I represent Jesus, and Jesus said, turn the other cheek. Jesus said, overcome evil with good. The Bible says we bless those who persecute us. Here's the third thing we're to do, build bridges. Oops, sorry. 1 Corinthians 9 says, and it's talking about dealing with unbelievers, it says, whatever a person is like, I try to find common ground with them. She may be of another culture, he may be of another race, another language, another political party, another religion, another lifestyle. Whatever a person is like, I try to find common ground with him or her. Why? To be popular? No. So that he will let me tell him about Christ and let Christ save him. I'm an ambassador. I do this to get the good news to them and also for the blessing that I myself receive when I see them come to Christ. Folks, politics can't change the human heart. We can't force somebody to be good by a law. It has to be an internal change in their heart, so we build bridges, not walls. By the way, how do we know when we're building a bridge? We get walked on. Count on it. That's what bridges are for. So you know if you're building a bridge, if you get walked on. If we never get walked on, then we're probably only building walls. Walls don't get walked on, bridges get walked on. My goal and your goal, he says, as an ambassador of Jesus, is that we build a bridge of respect and love to everybody so that Jesus can walk across. That's the goal. That's the reason we try to find common ground so we can. The last thing is there a reward to being an ambassador? The Bible says no matter what we do, we should be enthusiastic about it. If we work at McDonald's, we should be enthusiastic about it. If we do gardening, we should be enthusiastic about it. If we do daycare or work at the hospital or close multi-million dollar deals or drive a bus, what we do, the Bible says, whatever you do as a believer, you are to do with all your heart. We're to do it with enthusiasm. Why? Because we represent Jesus. As though you were working, it says, for the Lord and not for people. Remember that the Lord will give you as a reward the inheritance he has kept for his people. God has some big plans for you in heaven. He has rewards. He has an inheritance for you in heaven. He's keeping it there. It says, for Christ is the real master that you serve. Folks, we'll never feel completely satisfied here on earth because we were made for more. We'll have happy moments here, yes, but nothing compared to what God has planned for you in heaven. C.S. Lewis said, all that is not eternal is eternally useless. All that is not eternal is eternally useless. The Bible says we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is not seen. For what is seen is temporary, but what we cannot see is eternal. Friends, it's a mistake to assume that God's goal for our life is material prosperity or popular success as the world defines it. Abundant life has nothing to do with material abundance. When life gets tough and when we're overwhelmed with doubt or when we wonder if living for Christ is worth the effort, remember, we're not home yet. We're still on assignment. And we're on assignment as an ambassador for Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, I realize that to follow you means to be your ambassador. It means to represent you in the world. So forgive me for the times that I've been silent and not shared your message. Forgive me for the times I haven't been a good example. Forgive me for the times I've just been unloving, just as unloving as others, and I've returned evil for evil rather than returning good for evil. Lord, I want my life to reflect Jesus. I want you to use my life to meet the needs of other people. So help me learn to respect and to treat every person with dignity, no matter who they are or what they say to me. Help me to be a bridge builder, not a wall builder. And whatever I do, Lord, I want to do it with all my heart, as you've commanded me to do, because I represent you. So help me, Lord, to get out of the embassy. And Lord, I ask you that when times are tough and I begin to focus on what I don't have and what I need, and help me to realize that there is more to life than we know it now. And that one day I will be with you in eternity. And I want to hear you say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's grab